The subject of today's lecture is the real choices we face. It's June 2020. Things haven't been going very well in the world's great empire, so-called great empire, America. The country has totally mismanaged an epidemic that had been predicted for years and has sustained trillions of dollars in economic damage that is still coming, economic damage that has devastated the lives of millions and is almost certain to kill large numbers of people. In fact, the economic damage has already killed a considerable number of people, but the full scale of the economic damage has yet to hit. In the middle of this chaos, a police officer murdered in cold blood, in front of video cameras, a black man. This sparked a series of riots across the country. So the empire is not in good shape. The big question is what to do about all this, and to try not to get caught up in all the day-to-day yelling and screaming and so on and so forth. We have always felt that it's very surprising that we haven't had riots for a long time, because America is a social economic disaster area. Unlike any other modern state, America does not have health care as a right, does not have sick leave as a right. As a result, America is particularly vulnerable to the kind of epidemic that has just occurred. The response to the epidemic has been a mess. One might think that healthcare would be automatically guaranteed for everybody in the middle of this emergency. One might think that that would be an emergency. No. Welfare for the richest corporations has been guaranteed, but not healthcare for ordinary citizens. Even the $3 trillion Democratic so-called reform bill does not, we repeat, provide healthcare for ordinary citizens. So what to do? Let's just put some guidelines so we can sort out reality from noise and public relations BS. If you want to straighten out this country sociologically, and this, we're not going to put forth an agenda for everything, but some basic points, you have to have health care as a right. In other words, basically free health care. We're not even satisfied with Medicare. We should do like every other country to simply have free health care. Health care should be a right from the day when a person is born to the time that they die. And this is actually very cost effective in terms of reducing the cost of disease and having a low-cost method of supervising healthcare, so since it's a centralized system. Now, we're not going to get into the debate of Medicare for All vs. other plans. We personally favor Medicare for All, but if anybody else can come up with another plan that provides universal coverage, that's something we would support if that is indeed better. We also need universal sick leave, very important. This is not charity. This is security. We have free fire departments, right? You don't pay if your house burns down because we don't think fire is a good thing and we want to reduce its expansion in society. Same with health. So that's an obvious point, and we don't hear any plan about that. So obviously we're not dealing with a key underlying source of the riots, of the chaos, so on and so forth. So let's come up with another necessity. The Green New Deal. You're not going to change the direction of the world without major government program to shift from an economy of death to an economy of life. We're not going to get into the details of all the Green New Deals, but something along those lines is needed. Do we see society moving in that direction? Yes, there's political movement, but in terms of government action, no, we do not. There's no sign of that in the relief packages that have been voted on. So that's not happening. That's not happening. Now, we need to deal with some more major issues here. We can't have this runaway imperialism. We are spending more on war than ever before since World War II, when you count in homeland security, intelligence, so on and so forth. We put intelligence in quotation marks in light of the incompetence of so much of our intelligence community, but it's supposed to be intelligent. Anyway, that's the idea. Pay billions for people who couldn't figure out 911 or the epidemic and so on and so forth. But that's a whole nother story. So, by all calculations, we are at an all-time high in terms of constant dollar war spending, or very close to it. And we're not going to debate all the different calculations. That has to stop. It does. It has to stop because this runaway imperialism is bleeding us white. It's also accelerating a global arms race, and risking war with countries like Russia and China. We need a less confrontational foreign policy. Obama started a new Cold War with Russia that shows a great deal of danger of possibly escalating into a hot war, which would basically end life on this planet. So we need a de-escalation of tensions with Russia, a restoration of arms control agreements, so on and so forth. That's necessary. Do we see any sign of that? No, we do not. Indeed, since the defeat of Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party has been to the right of the Republican Party in calling for wild confrontation with Russia, and so on and so forth. So that's not happening. Okay, it's not happening. Now, we need to move to another area, which is taxes. Taxes need to go up. The US government is hemorrhaging trillions of dollars in losses. Yes. So, do we see plans to raise taxes? The Democrats have some plans, and some of them have some good stuff, but we don't see an attention to an essential part of taxation, which is consumption taxation. Specifically, a value-added tax, as is done in Europe, or and an energy tax, as is done in Europe. No social welfare state can be built without consumption taxes. It's just that basic. And it's some liberals claim, oh, that's regressive. Not it, a consumption tax can be structured so it is not regressive, and just mindlessly pushing income taxes will damage the whole economy, though we do need to raise them. So we need a value-added tax, an energy tax, as does every other major country in the world. So that's not happening. So these are criteria for real reform to deal with the American crisis. On a larger issue, you need a national economic plan to deal with the trade situation, and that will take 20 years. Trump intellectually, it has to be said, gets the trade thing. He's the first president in a long, long time to do so. But his solution is wild confrontation with China, which is very dangerous from a military point of view, and from an economic point of view, is also very dangerous. And we see this as just very dangerous across the board. This requires for cool heads, private negotiations, and also a plan to bring back U.S. industry to the United States. Again, we do not see that. Now, we could go on to some other issues, such as the control of Wall Street, that is very important to end these crazy stock buybacks, which is a total disaster. But we don't see that either. So these are criteria for reform. If you don't see this, you don't see real reform. America, like France before the revolution, has just been running up debt after debt after debt, financial gimmick after financial gimmick. Now, the mismanagement of the coronavirus has led to trillions of dollars in new debt. So this was a very sick system, hit with new costs, as well as the tremendous sociological costs and trauma of all this. Tough choices are ahead, and it's probably going to take at least 10 years to recover from the debt binge and the irresponsibility that got started in 1980. Not that America before 1980 was a utopia. It wasn't, and still had major problems such as a lack of health insurance then. But a good part of what's happened since 1980 is the biggest public and private debt supercycle in world history, which has been enabled because the US dollar is the core of the world economic system. So America has been able to borrow huge amounts to fund this. But this is not a tenable situation. So a moment of truth is coming. There's a need for clear leadership. And we don't see anybody having the courage to sit down with the American tea people and tell them the grim truth. No, we don't. So there's likely to be further escalation of the crisis until things reach such a train wreck and such a disaster that reforms will be put in. How far things go, who knows? We're particularly disturbed about the prospect of war, of plunging the country into war, and a further escalation of the arms race. These are concerns. But we put this out here to define some examples of real reform so the average citizen can understand what's real reform and what's fake reform. These subjects are dealt with on our website. We recommend you go to our website and learn more about them. This is the end of this lecture.